We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
On the Eagles Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is the EWU Football Coaches Show, powered by G Automotive. Also brought to you by Numerica Credit Union, Life Moves, Live Well, MultiCare Health System, Northern Quest Resort and Casino, the place where Eagles fans love to stay and play, and by Pepsi, the official soft drink of Eastern Athletics. Now, here are your hosts, Larry Weir and Paul Sorensen.
And welcome. Tonight we are in the press box here at Ruse Field in Cheney. The Red Rumble is going on down on the Inferno right now, and that is the welcoming to the freshmen. They're out here they'll have a big picture that you'll be able to see on social media with everybody inside the EWU that they formed down in the field. Coach Best is going to be talking to the freshmen that are assembled in just a few minutes here, but he's got some time to join us here at the start. We have player Spencer Blackburn, the Eagles center, defensive end Jim Townsend here this evening. Coach, let's get right off to the start with you here. You had an opportunity to see film from Saturday. Did anything look different when you, after seeing the film, after talking to the coaches, after meeting with the players, et cetera, than it did when the game ended a little over 48 hours ago?
Well, I tell you, Larry, once you review the film after a loss, especially in that manner, it hurts even more after you watch it on film and revisit it. Got a chance to watch all three phases on the bus on the way home, trying to get out of my system sooner rather than later. Didn't play well at all in any phases in the first half. Two things went our way. Our punting was above average, and our field goal block unit was above average. Outside of that, nothing was even close to average. Second half, we turned around, but we dug ourselves too big of a hole and just couldn't climb out of it, even though we scored 27, held them to 7. So it was a tale of two halves, Jekyll and Hyde, if you will, and you can't do that against anybody, no matter where or who they are, but especially when you're on the road against a good opponent. And so give credit to Ido. Their game plan worked like a T, and we just couldn't stop the onslaught early, and a little too late as far as only 60 minutes of football and not enough time to get things done.
What caused the bad start? Do you know?
Well, I tell you what, the energy lacked from the get-go, you know, and I don't believe in hangovers. I don't believe in long trips, coming back, putting all our energy into Jacksonville State. I know that's what everybody wants you to say, and that's the easy out. We had 12 opportunities this year on the schedule that are guaranteed, and so in no way, shape, or form is there ever going to be an energy or lack of energy as far as because of the previous game. One team can't beat you twice, and that's not going to be a go-to for us. That's not how we attack things and address things. We didn't do what we needed to do, and we're capable of doing with or without all the troops on board as far as the players we had suited up. Didn't execute the game plan as well as we should have and could have, and that had to do against an opponent. And I thought Mason Petrino willed that team absolutely to a victory, and I told him that after the game in person. And so got a lot of respect for Mason and what he's done over the years. He's answered a lot of critics the right way, and I respect the way he goes after the game. It's not always perfect, but it's a pretty resilient performance. And so much credit is to him along with their defense. They rushed four all game long. Our senior offensive line wasn't up to the task for that 60 minutes, and just goes to show you, no matter how experienced you are, you're not just going to roll into a building with five seniors and expect to get the job done. And so we will learn from this. We're not on the canvas. We're up, we will be better because of this, and this won't keep us down for too long.
Yeah, as you just have done, you got to give them credit for how they played in that ball game. They came out. It was an important game for them. They did what they needed to do. They came out, played with their hair on fire. I do think they tired out a little bit in the second half. If you guys could have punched it in and gotten it to overtime, I think you had a really good chance. But, you know, give them credit.
Absolutely. They're a more physical team than us. They did a lot of things better than us. And when you do a lot of things better than the opponent, especially when you're at home, especially when you have more energy, good things are going to go your way, and that's what they did. So they beat us in that 3 hours, and fair and square, and there's make no bones about it. There's zero excuses. I will harbor as much blame as I need to, and we will be better this Saturday at home against North Dakota.
You know, AB, I thought it was interesting. They had three guys over 340 pounds on the defensive line who did a nice job, I thought, of staying in their lanes and occupying your center guard. And I thought you had some issues at tackle on the ends. I thought the ends really created some havoc, you know, for Idaho, and they kind of dictated tempo early in that football game. Things straightened out later. Is that something you saw as well?
Absolutely. You know, when any team is able to stay in their base, cover four, and rush four all game long, that means you didn't do enough on the ground. There are shots to be had as far as taking some shots over the top, which we did in the second half. But you got to look at it. We were in the mid-20s play-wise on offense. And it's because we couldn't stay on the field offensively, whether it be a turnover or whether it be a three or four or five and out. And defensively, we just couldn't get off the field in situations where we're third down, fourth down. I mean, when we're third and nine on defense and the team's backed up inside their 20 and they hand the ball off for 11 yards and move the sticks, that's not acceptable no matter where you're at. And so those are things we got to tighten the screws on and with. And it's a collective effort. It's not just one. It's not one side of the ball. It's not just one player. It's a collective effort. We got to pick each other up because that's what good teams do.
I thought Eric was a little tentative in the first half. You know, when he gets outside and he can run around and create stuff, he has such a good arm. So sometimes it seems to me that he kind of relies on that to make plays. When he can use his feet and that arm, I think he brings a completely different dynamic to this offense. He did that in the second half and brought you guys back in the game. But I thought in the first half he was a little tentative. Did you see that same kind of situation?
Well, any quarterback's going to be tentative, whether he's got an arm or a set of legs or not, when your protection's not as suffice as to what it needs to be. And so when your eyes are on the rush, because the rush is affecting your ability to step up and deliver the ball to your receivers or tight ends or tailbacks, then that's going to affect you. As much as we don't want it to affect him, keep his eyes downfield, don't worry about the rush. When you're getting pressured, when you're getting when you're not comfortable in your drops to go through your reads, it all starts up front. And that's the way it is on both sides of the ball. It starts with your defensive line on defense. It starts with your offensive line on offense. And we didn't come out to a great start. They had more emotion and energy early. They used that emotion and energy to kind of will themselves to get us off the field on offense. And and stay on the field, keep our defense on the field. And we didn't really get a first win until the third quarter. And so, unfortunately, that was too late. And like I said, like we've talked about, give credit to them. And they've played really good ball for the last 3 weeks.
One thing I like about you, you'll take things on, excuse me, you know, head first. You're not going to push blame off and say injuries cause this or penalties cause that or whatever. You look on the defensive side of the ball. You don't have Keith Moore up front, big body in the middle that could really help. Warren, who was outstanding, the young transfer from Washington, has really been banged up since that first quarter of that game. Your two best linebackers, maybe two of the best in the entire conference, have been hurt, got hurt in that Jacksonville State, and you're losing two guys in the back end. That's six legitimate players that can add depth, athleticism, and a lot of stuff, and it looked like, you know, you see Ledbetter in there. He's getting pushed around. He's not a real big dude. You know, you need to try to find some help, maybe size-wise, you know, in that situation. So not that you're going to take, you know, and say that injuries are an issue, but having those fellas available, I think, makes a discernible difference to this defense. Would you agree with that?
I agree. And, you know, the analogy I use in that situation, similar to last year, we're not playing draw poker, we're playing stud. And you don't get to draw cards. You have the cards in your hand that you're dealt. Sometimes you got to bluff. Sometimes you got to make a move. Sometimes, you know, they make a move and you are on the better side of things. And so we've got to create more pressures, however that is, on the quarterback. Whether it's one-on-ones, A, we got to stop the run, but we get them in pass one-dimensional opportunities. We've got to create more one-on-one matchups where we win. We've got to create more pressures. We've got to time things up. We've got to be creative, maybe even exotic as far as how we get there, because the personnel is what it is. We have to use what we have and do the best with what we can with it. And so if that means we're playing with Johnny's and Joe's instead of, you know, Jimmy's and Timmy's, then that's the way it's got to be. And so we're not going to cry over spilled milk. We're going to keep continuing to continue on, and we've got to take the team approach and just understand what that locker room and how special it is as far as people believing in people, and that means believing in all three phases, whether you're only on one of those phases or not.
Thank goodness it's not Petey and Paul. You'd have really been in trouble on that front. All right, let's talk on, you know, just you look at some of the coverage thing. Cotton, I thought, had an outstanding, that's a good wide receiver for Idaho, and you had Trey Weed, the redshirt freshman, you know, kind of mirroring him around there, and there were some times he was right there, and that kid made some unbelievable catches. Hayes ends up with 17 tackles as a safety, and I don't care what stat you're looking at, that jumped off the page to me because they were getting to the second, third level, and he was having to make plays. So, you know, on that front, there was a lot of stuff that went on that kind of went against you, but you guys figured out a way to weather it, and you gave yourself a chance at the end of the game, you know, to win that football game. As bad as that first half was, I think there were some redeemable things in the second half moving forward that could help this football team.
Absolutely. I mean, it only was up from the first half. I mean, you couldn't have played any worse in all three phases, really, outside of the punting and the field goal block team. We didn't give ourselves a chance. I mean, it was that's the unfortunate thing. A lot of credit goes to Idaho, but we didn't do what we're even halfway capable of doing that first 30 minutes. And so, like I said, that second half, we came out and showed a little bit of our true colors. Again, no moral victories. Mr. Cotton's absolutely a receiver we knew is a really good receiver. We've had a few around here the last decade or so, or two decades, so I know what those guys look like from near. And he's one of those guys from far, and they made sure they got the ball to him. 10 for 110, and we just didn't do enough, and they did more.
All right, Micah Smith, you're challenged at running back with depth at this point in time. So Micah Smith got his shot on Saturday, and I thought in the four times that he ran the ball and he received the ball once, he looked pretty good and looked like, to me at least, through performance in that game, that he's earned a maybe bigger role on Saturday.
Well, it's like anything, Larry. You know, you see him in practice, and then you want to see that consistency be part of the game situations. And so game situations are certainly different than out here when they're not keeping score. He's shown some consistency at times, but any young player is going to have some ups and downs, some ins and outs, and trying to show his mettle along the way. And he's got an opportunity and did that on Saturday. Had one big catch for, I don't know, 20 yards in a situation where, you know, Eric swung it out to him and got out on the edge. And he's a downhill runner. You know, he's not a slasher. He's a downhill runner. He's a B2B gap runner. We know that. He knows that. And as long as his ball security stays tight, you know, and those types of things, he's going to earn more turns, earn more opportunities with the subtraction of Dennis Meriden. So, again, it's next man up mentality, and we have others if we need them. But we'd like Micah to continue his progress as we go forward and push the guys in front of him and the guys behind him pushing themselves to try to get in the mix as well.
Dre Dorton in the third quarter drew an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for taunting, but it came after a long play, and it was a sign of life, in my opinion, for this Eagle football team. I'm sure you would rather he turned his back on the defender before he celebrated rather than doing it in front of the guy, but still, it was a sign of life, and it was something we hadn't really seen too much of in that game, so I didn't really have a problem with it.
Well, and I'll just say this, Larry. Football is an emotional game, an emotional sport, and we hadn't had a ton of emotion, like you said, up until that point. I'll just say this. I watch a lot of film on our games. I watch a lot of film on other games. That was just an emotional outburst. Let's just say that. There's way more that goes on. And if we're going to try to conduct ourselves to where everything's got to be so prim and proper, that's tough, because that's what this is. This is a physical game. They get 11 or 12 opportunities every single year. Sometimes that catch may be their only catch of the year. It's an emotional game, and didn't say an absolute word to him. I said, great catch, just be smart, you know, after the catch, but absolutely, looking at a film, I'll just say this, it's an emotional game.
There you go. How miserable have the last 2 days been for you, for your staff, for your players?
I'll give you my wife's phone number. not good, but I wouldn't go as far as miserable. This too will truly test our true character as individuals, as coaches, as teammates, as friends, as brothers. But you try to compartmentalize, you know, family, friends, football, and know that one doesn't, we don't want those lines to be bled into one another. We all lost on Saturday. And we all put a lot of work in it, but half the country loses, and we're not used to it. That's why it hurts more than most. And everybody that I've been in contact with knows, players, coaches, fans alike, know that we are going to get everybody's best shot. They continually would. So if we play our B game and someone else plays their A game, well, you do the math. In this case, you do the alphabet, and what's going to win out, an A game or a B game? And so we've got to make sure we bring our A game, because if we bring our A game in all three phases, we got a heck of a chance each and every Saturday. But if we bring our B game or less, it's going to be a dogfight, and sometimes it's going to be a walkthrough in the first half of Idaho. That's just the reality, because everybody will bring their A game, and we must realize that when you are consistently good for a consistent portion of time. 18 is different than 19. 12 is different than 19. 14 is different than 19. We must realize that, even the people that have been on those staffs, in those locker rooms, in those meetings, it's different. And I think we're fastly realizing that as players and as coaches, that this is this version of this team this year. And we need to continue to write a better script.
All right, Coach, you've got to go talk to these freshmen. Which one of these players? You got a six-year guy and a fifth-year guy. Which one of these guys goes first?
Well, Spencer's probably got to get a bed early. He's 27 years old, so we'll ask Spencer to go first.
All right, Spencer Blackburn is next here. We're live at Ruse Field. It's the Red Rumble. We're welcoming the freshmen here to campus in Cheney. Back with Spencer Blackburn after this timeout on the Eagle Football Coaches Show from Learfield, IMG College.
You may be eager to break ground on a new outdoor project, but never just start digging. Buried electric and natural gas lines can be anywhere. It's the law to call 811 at least 2 business days before you dig. Spray paint white lines showing your dig zone, and a crew will mark the utility lines. Mark accuracy zone is within 2 feet of the mark, so always hand dig to expose the line first. Call 811 before you dig. The service is free for residential customers. Avista, we just want you to be safe.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent.
Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Eagle fans, we hope you're enjoying the game today. The Cheney Light Department has been a proud sponsor of the Eastern Eagles for many years. The Cheney Light Department has been your hometown expert on energy conservation and services since 1931. They offer a variety of rebates for your conservation projects and will assist you with energy savings. So when you're planning that next remodel or new building, be sure to call the Cheney Light Department at 498-9230 before you begin so they can help you in planning for energy savings. Go Eagles!
Inland Imaging's 6 outpatient imaging centers, the region's most advanced imaging technology, and more than 500 technical and professional staff make it possible for us to do studies that other imaging centers simply can't. And we often charge less than local hospitals and multi-specialty clinics for the same exams. When you need medical imaging, choose the Inland Imaging Advantage for answers you can trust and care you can count on.
Coors Light presents A Word from Kirk Herbstreit.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's time for college football. It means your fridge is filled with Coors Light. It means last night's pizza is this morning's breakfast. And washing it down with your first Coors Light of the day is worthy of an It's Saturday morning, and it means showers are optional.
Make Saturday mornings even more chill with a fridge full of Coors Light, the official beer of Saturday morning. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
All right, sir, do you know how fast you were going back there?
Well, not really. This new Jaguar from Northern Quest is just so dang comfortable.
That's enough, sir. I'm going to have to ask myself to have a seat in your car.
Say what?
Oh, daddy likes.
Don't miss the Jag Rover Takeover at Northern Quest for your chance to win a Jaguar, Range Rover, or $50,000 in cash. Get one free entry daily. Play for even more. Details at northernquest.com.
Ooh, fresh leather.
Welcome back, Eagle Football Coaches Show. We're here at the press box at Ruse Field. It's the Red Rumble down on the field with all the freshmen. With their orientation here, Coach Best will go down and talk to them. We'll have him back in a few minutes. Eagles in North Dakota on Saturday, 1 o'clock for the pregame show, 2 o'clock for the kickoff. Tickets are available online at goeagles.com. We hope to see you out here as the Eagles take on the Fighting Hawks of North Dakota Saturday starting at 2. Eagles center Spencer Blackburn joins us now. Frustrating. What was I'm sure that was one word that could be used to describe you guys after the ball game on Saturday. Is there a better word, something else, that another emotion that you've gone through over the last 48 hours?
No, that just about sums it up. It's just a disappointing loss going into a game that we know we should have played so much better than we did, especially being on the offensive front. We played extremely poor. It's tough to say, but as a whole, the offensive line really let the team down. Everything starts on the offensive line and the defensive line. And as a whole, we really let down the team.
And that probably makes the loss even harder.
Yeah, stings a lot more.
You're a six-year guy.
Yep.
So you didn't come back to Eastern for that.
No, that part is very tough going into the decision, knowing this is a team that's extremely complete. We have a lot of players returning. We have the parts to play in games the exact same as we did last year. I mean, I've been on a lot of teams. I've been around a lot of teams, even if I'm hurt and didn't play, or if I did play. I've played on a lot of teams. I've played on semifinals teams. I've played on national championship run games, and I've also played on teams that didn't even make playoffs. And so you can see what parts you need in having all the parts that we had. It was just really disappointing.
How do you, as a senior, handle it maybe in the locker room, away from my eyes?
It's tough. I mean, It makes it extremely difficult when you were part of the problem. You were part of the issues that we had during the game that led to the defeat against Idaho. But you just gotta try to get everyone's head up, and you gotta try to move on. Because I mean, at this point, what can you do about it? It's over. It's done with. And the only other thing you can do is to just move on and look to the next game.
You can't let it give you two losses. Coach Best mentioned it earlier. That game cannot be the cause of another loss.
Yeah.
Coming up this Saturday.
Yep. And we just kept that sluggish mentality that we finished the game against Jacksonville State, coming off that loss and finishing it the exact same way. We kind of rolled into the next game with almost that exact – it just had that feeling once we started getting going. It kind of had the Weber State feeling where anything we did didn't seem like enough, and that it seemed like they were always calling the perfect thing against us. And it just – you get into that, and it's tough as an offense when you start inside the five. You can't get any rhythm. You can't get anything going, and then you're off, and then the defense has a long drive. You're sitting there and just waiting. Then you go back out, and then we get caught down inside the 10, and it's just really difficult to get anything going. It reminded me just of how Weber State games felt in the past.
That Idaho team, I mean, that's had to have been a challenge for the interior linemen to block those guys because there's a lot of weight there. 353, yeah. 347, 333, I think, yep. In three of their four tackles.
Yeah. They executed their game plan extremely well. Their D tackles were there to hold gaps. They weren't there to make plays. But by doing so, they were able to expand those guys, and they put our tackles in difficult positions, and we just did not execute to our best ability.
You know, it's interesting. You're a captain on this football team. You came back, as Larry said, for your sixth year. I had the pleasure of doing that my senior year in college as well. And there's a lot on your shoulder as a captain in terms of being a leader, knowing when to step up and get in guys' grills, knowing when to pat guys on the butt, you know, knowing when to make those right decisions. Is that something you enjoy doing and feel comfortable being able to do?
Yes. One of my biggest things is I'm more of a quieter individual. In the past, I've tried to be a lead by example kind of guy, and so that sometimes brings me out of my comfort zone, but it's also one of those roles that I know I have to fulfill, I have to be a part of, and it's just something that goes with being in the position that I'm in. And the most difficult part about that, not necessarily is feeling uncomfortable, but it's trying to figure out a way to reach everybody. That's one of the most difficult parts, is you have so many people from different backgrounds, you have so many people from different upbringings, and that's the hardest part, is to figure out a way to reach everybody across the team, over 100 individuals.
Dre had that 15-yard penalty, and I absolutely concur with what Larry said. I thought it showed a spark, and really was the first kind of life that we saw from you guys, you know, after that 50-yard catch. To me, it looks like we have quiet leaders on Eastern Washington's team. Sometimes you need to really verbalize things and kind of get out there and get, you know, take one of those penalties. And that's why I thought it was a great penalty, because it really, in my opinion, showed passion. Yep. And is that something you agree with? I don't think you have to be crazy nuts or get 15-yard penalty kinds of things, but I think you have to elicit emotion, you know, to get your team going.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's exactly what it was. It was finally a spark. It finally got us into a rhythm. But then at this flip side of that, we are the most penalized team in our conference. There's no way else to look at it. We're the most penalized team in the conference, and it hurts us every single game thus far. And so even though it was some sort of spark, it still moved us back. It still was another step, three steps forward, one step back, constantly that mentality. And we have to figure out a way to reduce that, because what we're doing isn't enough.
Three out of your first four games are on the road.
Yep.
And they're on the road at places that are difficult to win. At the University of Washington, that won the Pac-12 last year, pretty good football team. You went to Jacksonville State. You go down the south, you're penalized 15 yards just coming out of the locker room. You can plan on that. You know, and they look at football in a completely different ilk. It's a religion down there, and you saw that and experienced it. Then you went to a rival. Now, it hasn't been the rival, say, a Montana has or Portland State has, but it's developing very quickly. Those experiences, are those things taking – you know, that you can use moving forward, coming up with North Dakota this week on the red, finally getting a home game against an FCS team. Are there things you can take out of those three road trips and those losses to make you better?
Yeah. I mean, every single game there's been good parts and there's been bad parts, and we have to be able to come collectively and bring one full game and bring everything to the table that we have. I mean, right now we have not beat an FCS school. No matter how you look at it, we have beat a Division II team, and then we've lost every other game. And so we have to figure out one way to be able to collectively come together and play a complete game, because every single game we've played, it has not been a complete game. You play Lindenwood 31-0, then it all of a sudden comes a little more competitive. UW, we didn't play very good in the first, played all right in the second and the third, and then didn't play that great in the fourth. We played Jacksonville State absolutely fantastic in the first, a little bit worse in the second, and then just fell off a cliff in the third and the fourth. And then Idaho, we were coming back up that cliff. We started extremely poorly and we did not get better from the first to the second, but then in the third quarter we were back to a different team. And it's like, we just got to figure out a way to get those inconsistencies to go away.
All right, let's get off this pesky football subject right now. Right now we've got roughly 1,000 students down there on the field. Were you part of this back in the Stone Age when you were here as a freshman?
Believe it or not, yes. We actually still had cameras back then, and we still took this photo.
What do you think? I mean, when it was, because you had been on campus for a month, obviously, with a football team, and you were here, and you were acclimated to everything. But what's it like when you actually have your peers, more students, around?
It was fun. I mean, my roommate from my first year was my best friend growing up, and so it was actually cool to be able to get to do stuff that I had been doing around here to finally meet, like, have him introduce him to basically this atmosphere. So that was really exciting.
All right. So as a 6-year guy, and as a great student in the classroom as well, I know you have a degree at this point. So where are you sitting as far as when classes start this week? You still taking a bunch of classes, or are you taking underwater basket weaving or something like that because you've got everything done that you need to do?
So I actually already finished my degree in economics, and then my other major that I've been holding off on, I have one class left in that, and then I'm taking a second class this quarter just so I can get a certification to help towards that. And so after this quarter, I'll have a degree in economics and accounting, and then by double majoring, I'll have enough credits to be CPA eligible going right out of college.
And you already have a job waiting for you here,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, the plan is go as far as I can with football, and I already accepted a job, so unless I have a future in the NFL, I already have a future set up.
And what is that? What is it that you're going to be doing?
So it's actually at Moss Adams. It's an accounting firm. It's a top 10 biggest firms in the United States. But I actually am in the auditing section, so depending on if you're doing 401ks or if you're doing just complete company audits, I will be a part of that.
Yes, and I mean, staying in the Spokane area, I'm guessing,
yep.
But obviously with something like that, you could pretty much go anywhere you wanted, probably.
Yeah, just about.
Are you, we were talking before we went on the air, are you a winter guy or are you a non-winter guy?
I am a winter guy, 100%. Actually, looking in the forecast, for it to potentially be snowing in September made me extremely happy. not very many people will say that.
Oh, boy.
No.
But that's for sure.
All right. Hey, Spencer, congratulations on a great career. Best of luck to you the rest of the way, and congratulations on a great academic end of things as well, because you are obviously a student athlete, and for getting that part handled and already being set to go with your work life whenever it is that begins.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Spencer.
Spencer Blackburn here with us. When we come back, Jim Townsend will join us on the Eagle Football Coaches Show. We're live at the Roosfield Press Box here this week on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We are motivated. We are dedicated. We are stepping up. We have passion flowing through our veins. We are vital. Inland Northwest Blood Center has joined forces with 127 donation centers across the nation to form Vitalant. By joining forces, we can help more people realize their life-saving potential and make every drop of blood count more. Learn why your donation is so vital at Vitalant.org.
At Numerica, we think it's time we had the money talk.
The younger you start saving for the future, the better. Even if it's just a few dollars a month. It really does all add up.
One of the best saving strategies anyone can make is to pay yourself first, every month with an automatic savings plan. That way, it's in your account and off your mind.
For more tips and tricks, visit numericacu.com or drop by one of our branches to talk with a friendly money expert. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you play Washington's Lottery, it helps fund education, stadium development, and businesses across the state. So we'd like to thank our players for their help. Thanks to the always plays her son's birthday numbers lady from Spokane. And the only scratches with his lucky coin guy from Olympia. And the I only play if the jackpot has at least three commas in it heavy hitter from Edmonds. A big heartfelt thank you to all our players. Visit wallottery.com/whobenefits.
Numbers rounded, must be 18 or older to purchase. Statistics and figures are from the 2018 Washington's Lottery Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Dutch Bros Coffee, an official partner of Eagle Football. Kick off the season with a Dutch Bros Pumpkin Cold Brew with cream. The featured drink is a new twist on a classic fall favorite, made with Dutch Bros exclusive nitro-infused cold brew. Enjoy it iced or toasted. It's the perfect way to get the boost you need to cheer on the team. Dutch Bros Coffee, serving Eastern Washington with coffee, cold brew, Rebel energy drinks, and more. All custom made for you and guaranteed to satisfy.
All right, it's the Red Rumble here at Ruse Field. All the freshmen are here getting their introduction to Eagle Athletics. The coaches are down on the field speaking, including Coach Best. The Eagle freshman football players were out there. Also, Dante Hayes and Caleb Laval were there to address them as well. We have Jim Townsend here in the press box now. Eagles against North Dakota Saturday, 1 o'clock for the pregame show, 2 o'clock for the kickoff here on the Eagle Sports Network. Jim was busy on Saturday, 12 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, 1 sack in the ball game. I asked Spencer this, going to ask you, what's the emotions been over the last 48 hours after that ball game?
I would probably just say a lot, just disappointed, because I know from a collective that we are a better football team than what we put out there on the field. Definitely. I mean, you can say that first half was just, I don't know, I have no speechless, really. Just, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what was happening, don't know what was going on that would make us perform in such a way that was so poorly out there on the field. But then I feel like that second half, kind of like everyone was saying, like we finally found something. We started figuring out what we needed to do, and we started performing both sides of the ball. But it just got to the point where it's just too far in a hole that it's just going to be almost impossible to come out of in situations.
So obviously I'm guessing it was a surprise then coming into this ball game on Saturday. It's not something that was in your gut that you kind of were thinking, I don't like the body language. I don't like what I'm seeing from this team.
I mean, I thought that whole week of practice was just, I thought it was there. I thought defensively we were on to what we were supposed to do. We knew our job, our assignments. I thought the game plan was almost perfect. I mean, from what Coach Anna and all the coaches worked up. But I don't know, just like when it came down to executing it on the field, it just wasn't there at all. I don't know if it was just mentally if there was something wrong, but I think it finally picked up that second half. We finally started to execute it and actually make big plays and started to slow up the run game in some ways, but it just didn't click until that second half, which you can't have. You got to have it go from the beginning and continue on the whole entire game.
They had a couple of running backs that were no joke, 5'9", 240-pound guys that were hard to tackle.
Oh, yeah, they were big boys. I mean, we're going to have another one of those this week. I mean, 6'1", 240. We just got to learn to, if you got to go through the legs. If you don't take out their legs, they're going to run right over you. And, I mean, you could see that on some fields where guys would hit them high and just bounce off. But unless you wrapped up the legs, you were able to really get them down and take out their whole entire. Because, I mean, they're downhill runners. They're not really juke you out of a hole like you would see of some guys, but they're just going to lower their shoulder and run you over if you go too high.
Jim, I thought you played an outstanding game individually out there running around and dealing with the injuries, not having some of the guys up front that can spell you and, you know, add some depth and some strength. The linebackers losing two really good ones. You know, that's something where individually you have to pick up and maybe compensate a little bit for those losses.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had a 12-tackle game as a D-end?
I believe that's my first time. I think the highest most tackles I ever had was probably 7 or 8 against Cal Poly. But, I mean, that's just a game where they'll run the ball
90 times, and you just got to pat your stats, really. You just make plays because it's always right there. But that was for sure the highest tackle game. Unless you talk about high school, then, I mean, I had a high tackle game in high school running around as linebacker.
Will Ledbetter let you ever block a kick since he had two more on Saturday, six total now? Do you get a chance to do that and get kind of the glory position there?
I've been close. I mean, close doesn't count. You gotta do it. But last week in Jacksonville, I had two of them come off my fingers. I felt both of them come off my thumbs. And this week, I almost had another one. I mean, jumped the snap just in time, but they got a false start, so it really didn't matter anyways. But, I mean, we're getting close. I've been close numerous times, though. I mean, as long as someone blocks a punt, blocks a kick, I'm happy with whoever it is. I'll celebrate just like I blocked it. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Just someone at least someone blocked the kick.
Well, that's a team victory.
Yeah. That's a whole victory. That's a whole unit victory right there. Whenever you can really block a kick, that's just everyone's able to celebrate that.
You had to come back here, and we're looking over the red. You finally get to get back here and play. You did against Lindenwood and got a nice victory. It's been three tough road trips, and is it exciting to be able to come back and play in front of all the freshmen, sophomore, juniors? The students are back. You get a chance to hold serve at home, and you're kind of starting fresh now. Big Sky Conference play starts on Saturday, which is weird because you're not doing a conference game against Idaho, but you're doing against North Dakota that's going bye-bye to another conference next year. Does that fire you guys up, and you're going to be ready for it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to be ready for it. I mean, it's big. It's the start. It's game. I mean, the games before they all mattered, but right starting now is where you really want to start picking it up and really want to start winning games and everything. But I'm super excited. Home fans, I love the atmosphere we have. All the fans that come out, and especially having the students out this game. I mean, there was still a good number of them out there against Lindenwood, but I'm hoping that they all show up and they'll all pack the stands again. So just to have a loud atmosphere again, I'm excited for that. I love playing at home.
You have played a lot of football here at Eastern Washington, played early in your career. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you've picked up from beginning as a freshman until now that you can keep for yourself and then maybe pass on to some of the underclassmen that are coming up behind you?
I think what I learned early from like guys like Samson and Pate and all those guys was just you have to play this position, especially D-line, you got to be tough. Like you got to be strong and you got to have grit and just be able to handle your guy and be able to dominate the guy in front of you. Like no matter what, whoever lines up against you, you got to be able to look him in the eye and say, I'm going to beat you. And you have to do it. And that's what I learned early from my freshman year coming in playing against Oregon, where I was one of the biggest kids on the football field coming from a 2B high school in Okanagan. I was one of the bigger kids in high school. And then you come up and you're going against 320-pound, probably first-round, second-round draft picks in the NFL. And it was an eye-opener, but I think I learned fast and matured early on. So I think the freshmen, I'm just trying to teach them, like, you have to be tough. You cannot back down. You have to dominate the guy in front of you. No matter what happens, you have to dominate him and then make sure you execute your assignment.
All right, so do you care to settle the long debate of who's the best athlete in the Townsend family?
Oh, my God.
Because I keep hearing things. I keep hearing Jill. I keep hearing Jill. She's a basketball player at Gonzaga. But, I mean, nobody talks to you and lets you get your two cents in. So you know, here's your chance to stump for that award.
I mean, I hear this every day from Coach Best that Jill's the athletic one in the family. And I'm like, I mean, I was a high school player. I'm the leading scorer at my high school for the boys team. My sister, I mean, she's the leading overall because she had over 2,000 points. But, I mean, I don't know. I think we're evenly matched. If we ever – we never go one-on-one against each other because it would turn into a fist fight. we'd start fighting. I would get mad and start pushing her and bullying her, and she would get mad and start throwing punches at me. So we never did go one-on-one, but I would say I am the better athlete, no matter what anyone says. she can have her glory on the basketball court. I'll take mine on the football field. I'll take that.
Okay. Is it fun to have her in proximity here so she can follow you in your season and you can follow her in her season, and you're both close enough to where your parents can get here and watch you both?
I think that it's really nice to have. I mean, I always go over there. I was just over there yesterday hanging out. We went to dinner with her and her roommates, a couple friends of mine. But, I mean, it's close. It's awesome being close to family. I mean, because we're a very tight-knit family. Like, we have all my cousins are very close. We're always close with my cousins and everything. So having everyone close to enough where you can see them no matter when it is. I can go home. It's only a three-hour drive home. I can go home whenever I want to. Maybe go home, help my dad out on the farm or something. Whenever he needs help, I would go home and help him, like especially like combining during harvest. I would go home and help him with that. But having her close, I love watching her play games. I mean, she's supposed to have I'm hoping she has really outstanding junior year, because, I mean, into her sophomore year, right before she got hurt in that WCC game, she was, I mean, had 19 points. She was helping the team. She was dominating that game, which is exciting to see. And I just love to support her in any way. And, I mean, she always comes out to these games. I think she was at the Idaho game. Her coaches let her get out. She had to watch the game, then had to get back because they had recruits in town. So it was just awesome to, you know, just having the support, just the family support is always. I really appreciate it.
You are a farm boy, so how much did growing up on a farm and learning, the work ethic that goes into that, how much has that helped you as a football player?
Oh, I think it helped me a lot. Like, everything I do now is, like, you have to work. I mean, my dad, I learned early about hard work because my dad's, like, hardest worker I've ever met. I mean, he'll wake up 6 o'clock, doesn't get back, especially in the summer, wakes up at 6, doesn't get back till 9 o'clock. We'll have dinner at like 9:30, then go straight to bed, because he doesn't get up, he doesn't come home until there's no light outside, so he can't do anything. But he really taught me work ethic no matter what. I mean, and having my mom's like big, she's really big sports side, and her family has a football background with my cousin playing at WSU for the Cougars and everything at linebacker. So it just really is ingrained in our family, the work ethic that you need in football. And that just carries over to football as well.
What are you majoring in? What do you want to do with life after football?
I am majoring in biology right now. So I'll have a science degree. And then after that, I am planning to go get my master's in agriculture, like agricultural sciences with crops and soils and stuff like that.
Go back to the farm?
Maybe. I mean, that's always the option, because, I mean, someone will probably have to take it over. I mean, that's always on the table. But right now, I think I might go work for my brother. Him and his wife started their own business out in the Palouse, and they're just gradually growing and growing and growing, that they now have crops, plots down in, like, California. So they're going always down to California to, like, do, like, almonds or potatoes or stuff like that, cotton. But they're always needing help, more help and help. So I was helping them over the summer, and we did different things, like test apples. Like, you had to take leaf samples, like hardness samples, and then soil samples on onions. You had to apply a chemical just to test it. And then I was also working with hemp. A lot of hemp, yeah. Industrial hemp for the CBD. Was it CBA?
CBD oils.
CBD
yeah.
oil. So I was over there working the hemp, and, oh, man, it was being out there in those fields for about 5 hours.
Cash crop.
I was getting a headache, just like, oh, I want to go home.
Well, congratulations on a great career so far. Best of luck the rest of the way, and thanks for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate Jim Townsend it. Here Thank with you. Us. When we come back, Coach Bestry joins us on the Eagle Football Coaches Show. We're live at Roos Field here on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Yolk's Fresh Market is a family business.
It means I have a voice in the future of the company.
I was hired at the age of 60, and to me, that's phenomenal.
I was part of a trading company for 10 years, and I've been with Yolk's now as an employee owner, and it's absolutely been a great experience.
It's an awesome company to be with.
Since we became employee-owned in 1990, that family continues to grow.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Hundo P. Hundo P. Adjective. Short for being 100% sure or certain. As in, if we get a puppy, I'll Hundo P. always walk it.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Eagle fans, we hope you're enjoying the game today. The Cheney Light Department has been a proud sponsor of the Eastern Eagles for many years. The Cheney Light Department has been your hometown expert on energy conservation and services since 1931. They offer a variety of rebates for your conservation projects and will assist you with energy savings. So when you're planning that next remodel or new building, be sure to call the Cheney Light Department at 498-9230 before you begin so they can help you in planning for energy savings. Go Eagles!
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
When you need a medical imaging study, chances are there's an Inland Imaging location nearby. From North Point and Holy Family on the north side, to South Cowley and Sacred Heart Doctors Building to the south, and our Valley Center and Providence Medical Park locations in Spokane Valley, with six convenient imaging centers located throughout the region. No matter where you go, there we are. Inland Imaging, answers you can trust and care you can count on.
All right, sir, do you know how fast you were going back there?
Well, not really. This new Jaguar from Northern Quest is just so dang comfortable.
That's enough, sir. I'm going to have to ask myself to have a seat in your car.
Say what?
Oh, daddy likes.
Don't miss the Jag Rover Takeover at Northern Quest for your chance to win a Jaguar, Range Rover, or $50,000 in cash. Get one free entry daily. Play for even more. Details at northernquest.com.
Ooh, fresh leather.
All right, we'll be back at M&D, Northern Quest Resort and Casino, next Monday. We'll have film. Coach Best will have that starting at 5:30 and then 6 o'clock, our radio program here on 700 ESPN, 105.3 FM. Coach Best rejoins us now. North Dakota comes to town, experienced quarterback, another 240-pound running back to deal with, and size at wide receiver, three guys that are 6'4". So this is a team that's they've got some weapons. They'll be a challenge. I know you're just getting into them as far as the scout goes, but what have you seen offensively from this team?
Well, I tell you, from a team's perspective, it's kind of a mixture of the last two teams we faced. You know, length at receiver, strength up front, like to run the ball, like to keep it on the round and keep you on your toes, and then they'll take the occasional shot, try to get you over the top once their ground game's established. They create chaos on defense. They're an unorthodox but yet well-coached defense. They'll mix up coverages, but they'll mix up the front seven way more than the coverages. So the back end will change, but the front end will change almost playly. And so we've got to be on our P's and Q's. We've got to get our eyes in the right spots and really cut down on the TFLs. The last 2 weeks we've had too many tackles for losses, including sacks. I know they're the best pass defensive secondary on paper in the country. They're also averaging around four sacks a game in their three games against really, you know, a team that likes to mix it up in Drake, a team that likes to, you know, kind of mix up but really keep it on the ground against North Dakota State, and then Sam Houston State that likes to keep you guessing every which way. And so their schedule hasn't been easy, and they're 2-1 coming off a bye, and seems like every year we always get the team that's coming off the bye. It just seems kind of thematic. So I don't know if the schedule gods are looking down upon us or frowning upon us, but nonetheless we got our work cut out for us against this outfit.
Is this what you'd call maybe a typical North Dakota team from what we've seen in the past, both offensively and defensively, kind of what we've come to see from them?
You know, it's a good question, Larry. I just don't know if I have enough data to be able to say whether they're a typical team that we've faced. I think I've only had the opportunity to face them two or three times. So I think it's different when you face a team 8, 10, 12 times. You have a long-term, relationship, if you will, with a team and facing them in different instances. But Coach Schweiger does a great job out there, and he's got those guys ready to play. He's molded them into, you know, kind of gone from one conference to the next conference into another conference. And, you know, you talk about within probably probably 10 to 12 years they've gone, this will be their third conference they're going to. And all three conferences kind of had their own niche as far as, you know, a mix in the Great West. And then all of a sudden, kind of more probably throw in the Big Sky to less throw in the Missouri Valley. So to me, that's more intriguing than, you know, kind of what they've been. It's what they're going to become, knowing the opponents they're going to face in the next conference, albeit it's a conference game for us this year, but hopping in the Missouri Valley Conference next year.
Well, and it's interesting because I think they're ramping up their running game. That's a staple in the Missouri Valley when you look at it, but they've also been outstanding on special teams. Always have been really good on kick returns, punt returns. Their punter and you know, kickers have been outstanding over the years. And defense, they've kind of been stingy from that standpoint. If I remember correctly, I think Eric Berrier had to play when we were back there because of an injury, and really played, even though it was a little bit conservative, I thought he played out of his gourd on that. And I think that's where Sam got hurt on that long touchdown run. But that was a tough, physical, grinded out, you know, type football game that, you know, wasn't decided really until midway through the fourth quarter. Is that something you kind of expect for Saturday?
Without question. I mean, again, to in my mind, to earn legitimate respect over a long period of time, you have to run the ball effectively and you must play defense. If you can then sprinkle in special teams and sprinkle in throwing the ball, whether it's in a drop back setting or a play action setting, that only enhances your respectability. And so, without question, they do two things really well. They run the ball and they play really good defense. And so we're going to have our work cut out for you. First downs are going to be at a premium, you know, and moving the sticks and getting chunks in the pass game is going to be more at a premium. And so we like the fact that we're playing at home. It is a conference game, so I think the stakes are risen a little bit now that they all count. And not that they didn't count before, but they really do count now, because your fate is really in the eight-game league segment. Not that the four before don't matter. They matter, but they don't count. And so we'll decide our fate one game at a time starting at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Two things that Eastern's been good at when they've had success, and that's turnover margin and cutting down on penalties. This year, the turnover margin has not gone Eastern's way, and the penalties are leading the league. What are things you need to do to clean those two up?
Well, you know, everybody talks about being disciplined. It's actions, not words. And so discipline is not a bad or an ominous word. It's not a negative word. We got to be more disciplined in how we approach some of the things we do. Some of those things, like we talk about in play, those are kind of depending on who's watching, who's seeing it. I go back to a couple weeks ago, I saw something that was pretty blatant that wasn't called, which wasn't a penalty. And then there's some things that you see that are get called that are kind of so tomato, tomato, it's in the eye of the beholder. But I will say, as far as late hits and false starts, I think those are at a minimum right now. It's the stuff in between the play that we struggle with, the blocks in the back, the pass interferences. And we've got to create different techniques. We've got to do things more disciplined, because 100 yards a game is 10 first downs last time I checked. And whether that's 10 against you or 10 for you, 10 first downs is still 10 first downs. That's a lot. That's, if you have 20 first downs in a ball game, that's about average. All of a sudden you start talking about half of your of 20 first downs and penalties that you're giving up, whether you're marking yourself back or on offense or defense. So that's got to be tended to. But those are all things we can help out during play. The turnovers, they come in bunches, and we haven't seen the bunches yet. We haven't forced any fumbles. We haven't picked up very many interceptions. A few have been timely, but we haven't had enough. We got to get greedy in the turnover department, and we got to continue to possess the ball on offense. I mean, we say it every week, we say it every year. It's just a matter of doing it. It's more actions and less words.
Coach, thanks for the time. Good luck Saturday.
You got it.
Thanks, AB.
Thanks, Paul.
We'll be back. Wrap it up after this timeout on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
MultiCare lives its mission by investing in you, offering a host of new facilities and services. MultiCare Indigo Urgent Care offers you friendly, convenient care every day, including holidays and weekends. Pulse Heart Institute is home to industry experts advancing cardiac care. MultiCare Deaconess Hospital's upgraded urology surgical space provides comprehensive treatment to fit the needs of our community. Visit MultiCare.org to learn more. MultiCare, here for you.
Washington Trust Bank asks, what's your awesome?
That's Gertie. She was our first goat, and we got her just for the milk. But then we started making cheese, and everybody loved it. So now we have four goats and are thinking about starting a little side business. Guess that would make Gertie a business partner. But not a silent one.
Everyone has an awesome. And whatever yours is, Washington Trust Bank can help you get there. Stop by and see a personal banker today. Learn more at watrust.com/awesome. Washington Trust Bank, member FDIC.
If a buried natural gas pipeline is leaking outside your home, you may see dead vegetation, hear a hissing noise, or smell it. Because Avista adds a rotten egg scent that's easily detectable. If so, get far away and call 911 and Avista. And if you ever smell a natural gas leak indoors, get everyone outside fast. Don't flip light switches, use a cell phone, or do anything to cause a spark. Go somewhere safe, like a neighbor's house, then call 911 and Avista. We just want you to be safe.
We are motivated. We are dedicated. We are stepping up. We have passion flowing through our veins. We are vital. Inland Northwest Blood Center has joined forces with 127 donation centers across the nation to form Vitalant. By joining forces, we can help more people realize their life-saving potential and make every drop of blood count more. Learn why your donation is so vital at Vitalant.org.
What's it mean to be local? What's the value to you? I'm Gus Johnson. I'd like to share my thoughts on being local. Let's start with America's best brand, Ford. Ford was one of the first great American-made success stories. And today, Ford has never been stronger, producing more vehicles to compete, not just locally, but globally. Accountability. When your name is on the door, you know you need to stand behind your product every day. Community. We're invested in the community, just like you've invested in us. We live here, work here, and reinvest to help veterans, homeless, kids, and schools. We are one of the few truly locally owned and operated dealerships selling America's best vehicle line, Ford. When it comes to American made, Ford is superior. When it comes to community, we're invested. When it comes to accountability, I put my name on it. So when you have a choice to buy a new or used vehicle, choose Gus Johnson Ford, the Ford expert on Auto Row.
All right, we're back at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino next Monday. Coach Best will have film at 5:30. The radio program will begin at 6. We'll have Coach Best and player guests on at that time. So we'll be back at M&D again on Monday of next week. And then we'll be with you on Saturday. The Eagles against North Dakota, 1 o'clock for the game, for the pregame show, 2 o'clock for the game time. Listen right here on the Eagle Sports Network. Thanks to Jim Townsend and Spencer Blackburn, to Coach Best as well, and for Steve Pry and Paul Sorensen, I'm Larry Ware. You've been listening to the Eagle Football Coaches Show, live from Roos Field during the Red Rumble on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
On the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, you've been listening to the EWU Football Coaches Show, powered by Gee Automotive. Also brought to you by Numerica Credit Union, Life Moves, Live Well, MultiCare Health System, Northern Quest Resort and Casino, the place where Eagles fans love to stay and play, and by Pepsi, the official soft drink of Eastern Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Eagles Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.